Curva Mundial listeners can get 20% off their next order at Football Devotion. For football designs with a difference, head over to footballdevotion.com and use code CURVA for 20% off your order. That's code CURVA. Welcome to Curva Mundial.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Curva Mundial. I am excited to announce we are traveling to Ghana as my next guest is the founder of the Deaf Media Group and Sahara Football. He is a journalist who covers the Ghana Black Stars and the Ghana League. Please welcome to this show, Asante Kotoko supporter, Clinton Aleto. How'd I do? Welcome, Clinton.
Yeah, that's nice. You got it right.
We did a quick lesson in pronunciation of the beautiful Ghanaian language, and I completely failed right before we started this. So I'm happy that I got, you know, something of the sorts, but I appreciate you coming on, and I'm sorry in advance for my my terrible Ghanaian. But thanks so much for joining me and shedding light on football in your beautiful country. You're based in Accra, which is a massive tourist destination lately for many Americans. Yeah. And celebrities like Dave Chappelle, Stevie Wonder, Kendrick Lamar, among others. What is that city like? And what is it like getting all of this much welcomed attention?
All right. But before we start, I just want you to know that I'm actually not Ghanaian. I'm actually a Nigerian.
Wow. Okay.
But I live and work here and I cover Ghana football. So to answer your question, I think Accra is like, how would I put it? It was the plan for the president of Ghana to bring people to the country. Like there's a term, the phrase they use, year of return. That was 2 years ago. So yeah. If you have a Ghanaian heritage and you want to come back to the country to invest, to locate your roots, you have the opportunity to come and the government will support you to buy land, maybe get Ghanaian citizenship and all that. So anyone that comes here will go back and say, Ghana is good, it's peaceful and all that. That motivates a lot of people to come. So I think the most reason why people come here is because it's peaceful. Here's very, very peaceful.
It looks like such an amazing country. I'm dying to visit. And for yourself, like what's it like to have gone from Nigeria to Ghana, and what brought you to Ghana?
Well, I came here for the first time. I came here, that was 2012. I came for school. I think the weird thing you notice is that I actually can't speak the Ghanaian language tree because I didn't, I didn't have that interest to learn the language. And I stayed here for 2012-13 to 2016. Then I went back to Nigeria. Then I did my service. Then I came back again. I realized that the country was peaceful and I feel comfortable here more than in Nigeria. So I moved and now I work here. I'm loving it. It's just great.
You see the photos, you see the videos, it's beautiful beaches, the food looks incredible. So what's that like for you? Was that just like also an instant trade-off of just like, hey, look, it's peaceful and it's gorgeous. This is a done deal.
Yeah, it's that, and Ghana is not a big country. It's something that you can, if you want to tour the country, like in Accra, if you want to tour the entire Accra in a day, you can do that because it's not that big. So it's a small town where you can create a circle of friends, family, and bond together without, you know, if you have a friend in Accra, the highest amount or the most time you can travel to meet your friends like 2 hours at most.
Wow.
So it's just small and you can mingle with anyone you like. For example, if they call me for work, you have a work in Accra, you have to go to somewhere, there's a press conference going on. Everywhere is close to my house. So I'll just get dressed and I'll just go.
Perfect. Yeah. You know, The Ghana League has blown me away simply for how colorful it is. I think outside of Mexico, the Ghana League has got the best kits in football around the world.
Yeah, it's very colorful.
It's so great. The Hearts of Oak team is just, that kit is, and we're going to talk about them a little bit too. But like that kit is just so like captivating. You know, aside from the glorious looks, what is the league like, and what is it like to cover it?
Well, the league, the fans are passionate. They have a lot of passionate fans in the Ghana Premier League. For example, the Hazebrouck fans and the Kotoko fans are the main fan base in Ghana. So if you see someone who has the person, are you a Kotoko fan or a Hearts fan? Those are the two big clubs in Ghana. They have so much history and lots of amazing fans. So covering them, it depends. For example, Hazebrouck, they stay in Accra. The bees in Accra, and they have the training, their stadium in Accra. By Asante Kotoko, they have their stadium in Kumasi, that is the Asante region of Ghana, and it's like by road is about 4 to 5 hours from Accra. So going to Kumasi is like they say football is a religion in Kumasi, and there if Kotoko loses a game, if they lose a game, if they suffer defeat at home, it brings down the mood. The whole town is quiet.
Okay.
Was a game I covered. It was Kotoko versus Etoile Sahel, a North African team. Kotoko won in Kumasi. The host state, that was the biggest attendance I've seen in my life. The stadium was filled up to the brim. I was blown away. I said, "What? A local team?" Then the Ghana Black Stars, the national team, couldn't pull this amount of crowd.
Wow.
The local team. In fact, people were traveling from everywhere in the country. Then, if you go to a bus station that you're going to Kumasi, it's all booked. It's all booked. Everyone is going to Kumasi. So the stadium was all filled up. Kotoko won that game, but the away leg in North America against the team, Kotoko lost away 3-0, and they eventually lost the tie. The game wasn't played in Kumasi, but the defeat affected the entire atmosphere. Everyone was just dumbfounded.
Wow.
So it's like with the religion. Anytime Kotoko are not playing well, the fans take it as personal, as if it's a family team, as if it's your own team. So when they are however, when they are attacking the team with insults and all that, they make it so personal, as if they are the one funding the team, they are the one paying their bills. They make it so personal, and that is why when Kotoko loses a game, everyone is demoralized. Like me personally, I don't have the strength to give updates about the game. I just, oh, my day is ruined. You've got to go lose the game. Then as for Hasselhoek fans, I would say that once their coach, if they have a coach and the coach is performing well, fans support the coach very well. But once the coach starts, drawing games, losing games and all that, it becomes a problem here in Accra. For you to motivate fans to go to the stadium is a very big issue. It's
Okay.
a very big issue in Accra, because in Accra there are a lot of activities and a lot of job opportunities compared to that of Kumasi. So most people are always busy because to live in Accra is very expensive, and everyone has to focus on their job, look for things to put food on the table. So it's very difficult to get fans to come out and watch us because here is the center of commerce. Everyone is busy and all that. But in Kumasi is different. In Kumasi,
Right.
if you tell your boss, Kotoko is playing today, please let me go. Oh, so yes, you can go. You can go. Go, I will join you. Go. But in Accra, as people don't understand football that way, because in Kumasi they have just one culture, and everyone knows that there's a particular language they speak in Kumasi. Most people in Kumasi are from Kumasi, but most people in Accra are not from Accra.
I
So
see. Okay.
most people in Accra are not from Accra. So different kind of people from the north, from the Volta region, from the people from Kumasi are also in Accra too. So that's why it's very difficult to fill the stadium in Hasselhoek. No matter the game they play, it's extremely difficult to fill the stadium. But in Kumasi, once the fans say, "Okay, let's go support the team," they will go. It's
All bets are off.
yes.
Wow. You know, the league is one of the more established in the African continent, and in recent years saw the legend Sully Mountari return home to play for Hearts of Oak. What was it like to have such a high-profile player like him back in the league?
That was the first time I saw him in person in my life. I've been in Ghana for how many years? Since 2012. Sule Muntari coming to the local league to play. think his debut, I had to go to the stadium because that would be my first time seeing him physically. That was the time all journalists are coming to the stadium because of the nature of the Ghana Premier League right now. We don't have a lot of coverage anymore because of the neglect on the pitch and all that. But once there's a little bit, quality injected into the league, like when Solomon Tari joined Hasbro. Normally, if you go to watch a Hasbro game, you see maybe 6 to 10 journalists there, but the journalist stand was filled up. The media stand was filled up because of Solomon Tari. Everyone is coming to take pictures of Solomon Tari. Everyone was lobbying to get an interview, to ask him about his debut game. The press conference, post-match press conference was filled up. Everyone wants to talk to Solomon Tari, wants to get his opinion. In the stadium, the fans trooped in. They wanted, pass the ball to Solomon Tari. Pass the ball to Solomon Tari. Where is the penalty? Give it to Solomon Tari. It blew the league. So imagine if other players, former players, let's say Thomas Partey retires and decides, Thomas Partey leaves Arsenal and decides to play in the league before he retires.
Right.
Imagine all these old players in Europe come back to play in the league. It's going to be bonkers. The whole stadium will fill up. So that changed the Ghana Premier League. I tell you, when Solomon Tari came, it was a game changer. Like me, we upload content to YouTube. Any highlights that include Solomon Tari, the view skyrocket times 10.
Wow.
So if you, let's say you're making 10,000 views for a Ghana Premier League highlight, if it's Solomon Tari involved, it goes to 90,000, 100,000 views. Because he's Solomon Tari.
Wow. You know, he's one of those, he's a player like N'Golo Kanté where they're just universally loved. Like they might not be the best player on the field, but they're certainly the hardest working and everybody loves them. I remember like he had played for Inter Milan for a while and I'm an AC Milan fan. And then when he came to AC Milan, it was like, it was okay. It was cool. Like there was no, like, and we trade players a lot, but it was, and sometimes there's bad blood, but it was like, oh, we got him now. He's ours. He's our guy. And everybody and everywhere he went, it's always been like that. He could play for rivals and still get the respect and love.
Yes.
So, you know, aside from Mutari, though, Ghana has produced some of the most incredible players in the world football this century. Asamoah, Kevin Prince-Boateng, Michael Essien. Who are some of the domestic superstars now that folks should be paying attention to? If you were a scout for a top club somewhere in the world, who would you say in the Ghana League should they sign or keep an eye on?
There's a player in Belgium United. There's a team, Ghana Premier League team, Belgium United. They are actually second in the league. This week, when I think they're playing the final, Ghana Premier League, like the final match day, the season ends this weekend. There's a player at Belgium United. If they win this weekend, they will be champions. And that player has added to the fine season. His name is Clinton Dodu.
Okay.
Clinton Dodu is he's 18 years old. Scouts messaged me about 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I think. They asked about the player and how good he was. For his age, he's so confident. He can take on players, and he is very fast. There's something about Ghanaian football. If a player gets to the box, the first thing that comes to his head is shoot. Shoot with power. Because those kind of goals, you know, it's throws the crowd on their feet. So what a goal is shot with so much power. But a player like Clinton Dodu, he plays with finesse. So instead of shooting, he goes for placement. He goes for beating his player and just lying the pass for someone to tap it. He's that brilliant. So those are kind of players that excel outside in Ghana Premier League. So Clinton Dodu is one of the players any person that wants to get a talent from Ghana Premier League should be looking at. He's very, very gifted. Then another player I would call that is talented is Manaf Ma. He was as a role player and they released him. He was as a role player, they released him because he was lacking in some areas. They expected more of him. He can dribble, he can pass, he's very intelligent, but he doesn't know how to cover spaces, tackle player, mark player, and tackle players and cover spaces. He doesn't know how to do that. So they released him on a fee. He went to nothing but Ghana. He went for, I think, for free to a team called Real Tamale United. That's RTU. He went there, and this season he played as a book at home. He scored a wonderful goal. That, I think that's the best goal I've seen so far in the Ghana Premier League. He scored, I guess, his former team in long range. I think more than 30 years out, he shot the ball and it went in. Then last week, they played the second leg in Accra. He scored again.
Wow.
So he scored his former team twice. Those are the kind of players that are goal-driven. They want to prove
that,
yes. So Manafuma, then another player that has a book is Salifu Ibrahim. He has been unlucky with injury, but he's very intelligent. When I look at good players in the Ghana Premier, I look for players that don't do the obvious. When they get in front of goal, they don't do the obvious. They become creative. Those are the players I look at. Then, I've been talking about attackers. Let me talk about defenders. In defenders, we have Vincent Natinga. That's Medema, a defender that has the most goals for defenders this season. He's a very good penalty taker and very good. He's very good with his head. If there's a corner kick, you have to be very, very careful because he's going to score. So Vincent Natinga, Salifu Ibrahim, that's in Hasebuk, Manafuma, RTU, Clinton Dogu from Real Tamale United. I want to call a player from Kotoko. We had a very good player of Isaac Okoro. That player has, when I say technically gifted, he was the best in the league.
Wow.
So no one comes close. But he got injured, and after he got the injury, he became scared. So if, he became scared, and he doesn't give out that more. He is scared of tackles now because the injury was so painful that it traumatized him physically and mentally, and he's just keeping it low and all that. But I don't think we have technically gifted players that much this season. Last season, we had most of them, and they've all, left the league. They'll come and ship them out after every season. They'll come and say, who is the best player in this league? They say, this one is big. Think about the best players went to Egypt.
Wow. Does it get you aggravated, though, that happens? That it's hard to sustain a team or a league on that aspect where you have other richer clubs or bigger clubs or bigger leagues, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Europe or South America coming, or in America now coming and saying, I want that kid or I want that guy. And that's it.
All right. But I want to tell you what a Ghanaian footballer told me. He told me that compared to what he's being paid in the Ghana Premier League to his new club, it is way, way different. The pay gap is different. The player in Ghana, there was a time people were protesting because a Ghana Premier League player was earning less than $100 per month.
Wow. $100 a month they were getting paid?
Less than $100 per month in his club. So a Ghana Premier League player asked me if I was a family member, if I was a member of a family, and there's an opportunity for me to go out of the country and earn times 10 of what I'm earning in Ghana, what would be your advice for me?
Yeah, I mean, money talks.
Obviously, you have to take it because if you get injured, for example, you get injured in Ghana, it's going to take awareness. If people are not aware of the injury, the club won't spend much on you to, foot the surgery bills and all that. So players seek for greener pastures. We have players from Ghana Premier League. They go to Israel. They go to Iraq. Mm-hmm. Iran to play because they get times 10 of what they are earning in Ghana. They don't care where they are playing as far as they are earning more than what they are earning.
Right.
Sometimes it's sad, but reality is it's just that way. You can't get a good career in Ghana. And if you play in the Ghana Premier League all your life, I don't think you have much when you retire. You become really broke.
You're embedded in it, so you see it. And you know, covering it day in and day out. But it's you, because money is such a big deal now in soccer. It's always been a big deal. That's a dumb statement I just made, but like that's a silly statement. But it's like, it's ridiculous money now. That's the thing. It's like money that it's unprecedented amount of money that like we'll never see. I hope you get to see it. Like I can only speak for myself. I ain't seen that cash. But it's one of those things where you tend to forget that, or we as people tend to forget that, you know, there are other leagues where it's not sustainable to be a player in your native country. And yeah, I'm sure it sucks to like see a great talent leave, but you understand, like, is that what the general public also feels too? Like, hey, look, you know, you were great at Kotoko, but I understand why you're going to go play in Saudi Arabia or Israel or wherever.
Yeah, I do understand. And most of them, they footballers in Ghana, they appreciate the fact that you understand instead of criticizing. They say, put yourself in my shoes. What would you have done? So that's why most of them, if they go out and come back and they have the opportunity to talk about the experience there, they tell you, if you go out there and see footballers, if you tell them what you've been earning in Ghana, they wouldn't believe you.
Wow. All right. So you're a supporter, though, of Asante Kotoko, and they won the title in the 2021-2022 season. How did that fandom come about?
You mean me being a Kotoko fan?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you the truth. When I was in school, because I stay in the school in Kumasi, because Kumasi is Kotoko headquarters, obviously. When I stayed in school, I stayed in the international students department where we have a lot of nationalities, but mostly not Ghanaians. So close to our lodge, we had a particular Ghanaian hall or a lodge. And when Kotoko are playing a game, they send buses to that lodge to pick Ghanaians that will go there to support. So there's something they call morale. They dance, they take off their shirts.
Okay, yeah. And
so when I saw, I was like, what is making this so passionate? What is going on? Is it like a cult or something? Is it no, as their local team is playing? I say, no, it can't be. Is it the national team? It can't be the local team. It's not possible. No one can be this passionate for a local team. It doesn't make sense. They say, oh, it's like religion to them. Anytime Kotoko play, they win, they lose, they draw, anything, they are singing to the top of their voice. They don't care about the results. They just want to support the team, sing, make the noise, make sure that the presence are being felt. And sometimes, from what I heard at first, they said the presence of those people intimidate the visiting team. So the loudness and the atmosphere in the stadium created by those guys that the bus came to pick, it intimidates the away team, and you know, they don't play well when they come to Kotoko. So I was so intrigued. I was like, okay, I'm interested. I want to see what makes these people so passionate. Okay. So I went to watch a Kotoko game. I saw a grown-up man, like a grown man in his, let's say, early 30s or late 30s. He was crying. He was crying because his favorite player scored a goal. Everyone was able to, other people there was normal. Me, I was confused because I had never seen this kind of thing before. Because when I left Nigeria for Ghana, the local football in Nigeria wasn't this serious. So
right.
I was so confused. I was like, why is he crying? What's going on? They said, if you come here, you see them, drink or they go lose. Some of them, they cry. Some of them, they stay at the stadium, they drink and bring out their pain and they complain before they go home. So people close down their shop, close down their offices, their companies, they come to watch Kotoko. They say to them, if Kotoko are not playing, their life is not complete. That's why they have to watch Kotoko. So when I saw how passionate they were, I was like, okay, it starts now. Let's see what we can know about this team. Let's see what we can. How do I start? And I started watching the football. Then I watched a few games. Then I started learning how to, you know, get close to the team, get the media pass, the accreditation, the routine, the training session, then getting close to the players. The funny thing is that most of them don't know I'm not Ghanaian. They think I'm Ghanaian. So when they see me, they say, oh, how are you? They speak Ghanaian language. Then if I understand, I'll say, I'm fine. I'll speak and all that. So from there, when you get involved, that's when you get involved, you can't go out.
Right. Once you're in, that's it.
Yeah, you can't go out, you're in. When I even went, see, I'm hearing the Kotoko just saying this.
Yeah.
When I went to Nigeria, Kotoko was playing, I was glued on my phone. I was watching Kotoko play. When I went to watch the AFCON in Cameroon, I was at a media room. I was watching Kotoko on my phone. So when Kotoko are playing, I'm not paying attention. Wherever I am, I'm distracted. I want to know what's going on. So it's like, once you start supporting a Kotoko, a spirit enters you and just takes control of you. It's just amazing.
I have done a lot of episodes and I've spoken to fans across the world, but none have ever described it like that. And that is my favorite description of it. Once the spirit enters you, it takes control.
Yes, you can't take it off. It's just there. It's just like me. If you call me and tell me Kotoko is coming to Accra and they want to meet fans, can you come out and take a picture or a video? Whatever I'm doing, I'm leaving them. I say, I'll be there because it's Kotoko. Even if they lose 10 games in a row, once I see Kotoko, I'm smiling, I'm glad. That's how the spirit is. It's just amazing. The thing is that you might see it in a weird way. So anytime I think about how I feel about the club, I get surprised because if you hear I'm not Ghanaian, you'd be like, so why are you so passionate about the team? You're not in the country. So that is the level the spirit can take you.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Wow. Clinton, I love that, man. Thank you. So, like, now, I got a couple follow-up questions here on this.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Now, being a journalist, you got to keep yourself, you know, you can't have a biased opinion. You got to be unbiased. How hard is it to hide your feelings about Kotoko when you're reporting?
Well, some of them, some of the fans, they already know I report mostly on Kotoko. So, anytime I say something about other teams, I say, oh, this Kotoko man is here again. So what I do to balance it is that when there's a positive news about the rival and other teams, I report them as well. If it's a player who scored a nice goal, I say, oh, that goal was nice as a book player. This is my favorite as a book player. And all that. I see nice things about them. So that it doesn't feel as if anything I'm seeing about the rival team is because I'm a Kotoko fan. So if Kotoko is not playing well too, I also tweet and say Kotoko are not playing well. I criticize the team, I criticize Kotoko. So that when I criticize another team, they don't say, oh, we have never seen you criticize Kotoko. So you are obviously biased. So anytime I go to the stadium, first of all, they say, Kotoko man, what are you doing in this stadium? What are you doing here? I say, oh, I support Kotoko, obviously, but I still have to do my job. Cover has a book. Then we say, oh, okay, today I'm going to win and you're going to cry. I said, I've come here to enjoy football. You lose, I'm happy. You win, I'm happy. Whatever the result, I'm happy. So I try my best to report on other clubs, criticize Kotoko, criticize other clubs, and keep the level of criticism in a way that whenever I talk about other clubs, they won't just, you know, dismiss my claims or my thoughts.
I will say this. I had to ask you before in the pre-interview when we were setting this up, like what your favorite club was, because you do such a fantastic job at keeping it unbiased. I had no idea what team you supported. I had no idea. And look, I'm not anywhere near a level of connoisseur of the Ghanaian, you know, Premier League, but you can tell, you know, sometimes like, all right, who's supporting who? I couldn't tell with you. So you're doing such a good job. So I know they're calling you the Kotoko man, but it's into your face. But to the rest of the world, you are the authority on Ghanaian soccer. So you're doing a hell of a job. So thank you and congratulations. Because I feel like I get such an insight into a league and in a country that I want to know more about. I'm curious about. As you know, we talked about Sully Muntari. We talked about Boateng earlier. These are all guys that I grew up watching. I love them dearly. So it's like, I want to know more about where they're coming from. But now, you know, as we touched on earlier, you are from Nigeria. When it comes to national team support, you do cover the Black Stars, but are you a Super Eagles supporter? And how does that play a role into it?
Right. Are you aware that Ghana beat the Super Eagles to get the spots in the World Cup?
Yes.
So the first leg was played in Ghana. Before the game, I had friends call me and say, "Oh, you're a Trojan horse. Go and get their, their tactics, their style of play. Send it to us. Then we'll send to our team to send to our coach to know how the Ghanaians play." I said, "Wow. So you think I'll do that? Let's say, okay, you think I'll do that? How much can you pay me? Can you pay me so much for me to betray my work and forget about all the ethics and just tell you how Ghana play?" I told them that, first of all, Ghana, if I tell you the tactics of Ghana, sometimes Ghana don't win game based on tactics. They win game based on the support and the motivation they get.
Right.
So that is very, very different from telling you the tactics. I can tell you the players that can start, obviously, based on the training I watched and the style of the way the coach arranged them in the training. But I can tell you how they play because the motivation and the support from the fans. If that's the thing about Ghana, the spirit is inside me now. I don't know how to get rid of it. If Ghana is playing bad, once it's a game against Nigeria, we know Ghana is not good. We know Ghana play bad football. If they're playing against Nigeria, we all support Ghana. Nigeria versus Ghana, I was supporting Ghana. They say, "Oh, you are not patriotic guy. You are betraying your motherland to support Ghana." I said, "Nah, how can you tell me that? I have to focus on work. It's work first. I have to focus on work, and I've been supporting Ghana and all that." So it's difficult because when Super Eagles came to Ghana to play Ghana Black Stars, I met some Nigerian colleagues. They were like, "Ghana, you this Ghanaian, give us." I said, "I'm Nigerian." They say, "It's not true. It can't be true. Where are you from, Nigeria? Tell me." I'll tell them I'm from this place in Nigeria. They say, "It's a lie." They say, which particular area?" I'll tell them. They say, "Okay, so why are you supporting Ghana?" They keep asking me that question. Why are you supporting Ghana? I would say supporting the Super Eagles and supporting Ghana, they're two different feelings. If I'm supporting, for example, when the second leg, we had to travel to Nigeria to play, and then they were treating me as a Ghanaian. That's the thing. Because I came with a Ghanaian entourage. All my colleagues were Ghanaian. So they were treating me as a Ghanaian. And you see, give him a seat. He's a foreigner from a foreign land. They don't know I'm Nigerian. I don't even tell them. I don't see any need. So I'll just sit down and tell me that my Ghanaian colleagues will be flowing as if we're all Ghanaians. Even when Ghana edged Nigeria, the final whistle after it's confirmed that Ghana qualified for the World Cup, the fans invaded the stadium, and there were reports that they were threatening to beat the Ghana players and the Ghana media team. It was so scary that the Nigerian journalists had to hide everyone. Like, they had to put us in the press conference room and told us not to come out until everywhere is calm. So that made me feel like, man, it means you're truly Ghanaian. If a Nigerian president wants to hide you from other Nigerians, it means you're part of them. I was like,
right.
Yeah, just because of work. Because normally I can say I'm coming to Nigeria to support Nigeria. I'll be betraying my work because the people I report to are Ghanaians. If I report to Ghanaians, I have to report positive, supportive news to them.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm reporting to Ghanaians and telling them Nigerian will win, it won't make sense. So supporting the Super Eagles, if Super Eagles are playing against other team, I support them 100%. If Super Eagles are playing against maybe Benin, Ivory Coast, Egypt. In the Africa Cup of Nations, I was supporting Ghana. I was supporting Nigeria. I was praying that we don't lock horns in the Africa, because we're in a different group. So I was supporting both teams. But if you ask me to say, you have only one option, you have to support, well, I would choose Ghana, because obviously that's where I work. So that's how it is.
I like it. It's also your adopted country. They've taken, you know, it's your adopted home now, and you know, it's where you're making a livelihood. I love it. I couldn't agree more. It's funny how also what fandom means around the world and how people view it, and that tribalism is almost universal. It's kind of funny when I find folks like yourself. Where you break that cycle and you break that mold, where there's no rules to any of this. Who says that you can't support a couple teams? There's no rules to this. We make up rules. Why are we making up rules? We have enough rules in life. Like, sports is supposed to be fun. This is great though. Clinton, you've shed so much light. We're not done yet. I got a few more questions for you.
Sure, I
love hearing your stories. But you are also an entrepreneur. You founded the Deaf Media Group and Sahara Football. What are they, and how did those ventures come about?
Wow. For Deaf Media Group, I'll talk about Sahara Football first. Sahara Football, I co-founded it with my colleague. We were both in university. We started the website. Then I went back to Nigeria. Then he continued. Then I came back. We built the channel from one subscriber to 170,000 subscribers. That's for the main channel. Then the second channel, we have an extra channel. I think it has about 60,000 subscribers. So more than 200,000 in total. And it has been good. I can see that we had so much positive influence on Ghana football. Because if you go to YouTube and talk about and search for Ghana football, you see a lot of channels. But when we started, it was just three or two. So when they saw that people were actually interested in local football and the way we do it, it brings people. Most people that watch our channel on YouTube, they are Ghanaians outside the country. So when people in Ghana realized that people outside the country are actually interested in local football, they started doing what we're doing. So I would say that we changed the entire perspective or the entire atmosphere when it comes to local football online. So Sahara Football has been pretty good. And when we started, they didn't know who we were when we started attending games. Is it? You are the Sahara Football, I've been watching your videos. You are the Sahara Football, I've been watching you. Because me, I don't appear on the channel too much. I'm the man behind the camera. So,
okay.
Yes. So most people, they see me, they'll be like, I see you, but I see the other guy more. I said, that's true, because I'm probably mostly behind the camera. If we go out to go, for example, Ghana Black Stars, they'll be flying in a couple of weeks for the game to Madagascar and all that. If we go and we have a budget to interview a player, I'll be behind the camera. Yes. So the experience has been good. And I had the opportunity to go to Qatar for the World Cup, to go to Cameroon for the Africa Cup of Nations, to travel back to Nigeria for Ghana versus Nigeria. So it's like an avenue for me to do what I love and also travel out and, you know, experience all this, because Qatar was amazing. I just wish the World Cup was a little bit longer, because I actually enjoyed my stay in Qatar. So
you did?
Yes, I did. A lot. That's a very, very nice country.
So let's talk about that, because I had a couple guests on that came and they were like, nah, it was all right. So the face that Clinton's making, because this is an audio podcast, the face that Clinton is making right now is like kind of like when you bite into like the worst piece of fruit ever and it's really sour and bad. Like, yeah, like you have this shocked look on your face. Like a lot of people that I spoke to were like, eh, it was okay. And as a neutral, like Italy wasn't in this World Cup again, so I didn't. So I watched this as a neutral and going like, okay, Messi, you better win something. And then like everyone else in the world, I fell in love with Morocco and their story, and it was great. But as a neutral, it was so much fun to watch. Like, I, controversies aside, let's just talk football for a hot second. Like, it was just a great put together display of entertainment. So what was it being there on the ground then? So now give me the counter of what everyone else had said.
Well, first of all, most people you meet in Qatar are actually not from Qatar.
Right.
If you meet 100 people in a day in Qatar, it's possible that only two might be from Qatar. So for the foreigners that work in Qatar, they're all kind. For the whole organization in Qatar was amazing. Transportation, 100%. Security, 100%. The food, you have to make a choice. I haven't found Ghanaian food in Qatar. So it was just amazing.
Really?
I don't know why anyone would feel. Maybe the person that wanted to do something that is not allowed in the country. It's possible that, well, first of all, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I think probably why I enjoy it most, because most people want to do other stuff and that involves partying and all that. Even partying, the opportunities to party, they had clubs where you can go and have fun and all that. Anyone that says Qatar wasn't good or was okay, it's maybe the person had one or two moments that got him back. But Qatar was really, really good. From the moment you got in, I was expecting the airport checks, security checks to be cumbersome, like you have to pass through 10 stages and all that. You just get in and they just stand there, the system scans you. So you can go. I was like, that's it? I said, no, I can't be, I have to see something. Then I just go out, I just saw my luggage, I was like, wow, this is fast. I said, okay, maybe it's what I expect. I expect good before getting the bad parts. But there were no bad parts. I enjoyed the whole experience.
That's great.
Yes, I enjoyed the experience. For example, our lodge, the people they put in charge to take care of us, like the accommodation for us, the cleaners and all that, they were all, most of them were from African countries. So we had opportunity to talk. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, I'm from Cameroon. I said, okay, you're from Kenya. We almost like, you meet new people, you change contacts, you network. And Qatar made it possible that if you didn't get the FIFA, the main FIFA media accreditation, they made a host nation accreditation where they give you access to free internet, free breakfast, free food, free spots to take videos and all that.
Oh, wow.
Opportunity to meet staff. For example, the first day I went to the media hub meant for people that couldn't get the FIFA media accreditation. That was the day I saw Rio Ferdinand for the first time in my life. I was sitting down, someone said, that is real. I said, who? Rio Ferdinand. I just saw him. It was like a dream. I was like, that is real. So for them to give you the opportunity to see Rio Ferdinand in Qatar,
right,
in a working capacity, it's not that you're a fan, that you're traveling around. This one, you talk to him, you stop and answer you, because he knows that everyone here is a professional. So for Qatar to give you the opportunity, it's just amazing. It's mind-blowing. I met some people from other countries that are there. You see, what's his name? Guillem Balague, some Spanish, this top Spanish journalist.
Yeah, okay.
I was in a bus going for an after party. He was in my bus, like he was sitting. I didn't know who he was. They were just sitting and pressing his phone. Someone said, that's Guillem Balague. I said, no, it can't be. I said, that's him. Say, let's check his Instagram. We saw his recent haircut, saw his recent dress. It was the same thing he was wearing. I said, no, we have to take a picture.
Yeah.
When we went to meet him, he said, you know who I am? I said, yes, of course we do. We showed him, this is you, right? He said, yes, that's me. Then we took a picture. So it gave you the, as if everything is free.
Right.
You need to meet who you want.
I get it. Yeah. All right. Okay.
My colleagues, they met players they met there's a forgotten his name. There's a popular player. He was just in the market. You couldn't believe it. No security, nothing, nothing. He was just in the market.
Wow.
If you look at him, you say, "Oh, that can't be him." There's no crowd around him. He was just buying stuff. My friend recognized him and took a picture. So, anyway, you turn around, they're stars. I met a bodyguard of Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
Met him in Qatar. He offered us dates and coffee. So I don't know how, okay, maybe the person that had the bad experience about Qatar didn't go out. But if you explore, the more you explore, the more you love the place. It was bonkers.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's like a whole new perspective than what I've heard, for real.
It was bonkers. Like, I didn't want to leave.
Wow. Now, Clinton, I'm expecting you in America for the next World Cup.
Definitely. I'll be coming.
You better be coming. All right, good. Because then we can go and we can get together in New York, and we're going to go and we're going to try and hunt down Ghanaian food in New York, because I can't find any. So I hope we have a couple years to go and find a few places.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we just hope Ghana and Nigeria make it to the next World Cup.
That's it. We'll be fine. Don't worry. But all else fails, I'll get you great New York pizza. That's all that matters.
Now time for a coffee break.
Curva Mundial is sponsored by Mod Cup Coffee in Jersey City, but you can get it anywhere in the world from modcup.com. Mod Cup, drink modern coffee. Use code MUNDIAL for 10% off your first order.
I got three questions for you that I ask every guest. These are going to pertain to your club. These are going to pertain to Kotoko, because you're the Kotoko man. So if you could bring back one retired player to your club, alive or dead, a former player of the team, who would it be and why?
Wow. Wow. That's a very good question. There's a player, I don't even know who to pick. There's a player called Babaya. He was, I think he was named after the stadium, Kotoko Stadium was named after him. He was entertainment.
Okay.
What is it? Technical abilities, confidence. He had it. I didn't watch him play, but if you go back to watch the clips, you'll be like, oh, this can't be real. It's not possible. Where has the quality gone? He was brimming with confidence. It was so good that if he says, I'm coming to your club, or you hear that this player is coming, in fact, they'll close down the road to welcome him, because
wow.
It was so good. And that was the time Ghana football was, it was crazy. You can come back from work and your entire neighborhood is empty because everyone's at the stadium. Yes. So that was, so Babayara was, he was too good. Everyone has a lot of story. Everyone that watched him, they have a different story about him. Some people tell you that they missed their flight because of they were watching him. Some will say that they cried. Some will say they met their wife there at the stadium. They met their best friend there. So it was, I didn't watch it, but when you hear the stories, you're like, wow, someone like this existed and he played for Kotoko. I would love to see it again.
Okay. So,
I haven't had the opportunity to see anyone as gifted as him. When I say gifted, I don't mean he was a person that I can do this, I can dribble this player, I can beat this player. He'll go and do it. Like, he will do it. He will tell you, I'm going to score tomorrow. He will go and score tomorrow. You can't hold him. He's so gifted that the team trained specifically on how to hold him. If he's with the ball, this is the players you hold. This is the way you set up. This is how we set up. If these players are the ball, areas are the ball.
Right.
Then he in Kumasi, if you talk bad about him in Kumasi,
that's
in trouble.
It's like talking bad about Eusebio in Lisbon.
Yes.
For Benfica. It
like,
yeah,
it was like talking bad about Messi in front of my Argentine.
Right.
All
right.
So it was so good. I wish I had the opportunity to see him play.
All right. Now, we're going to play Ultimate Fantasy Football with this question.
Okay.
Infinite amount of money. More money than Saudi Arabia was going to offer Messi, okay? If your club could sign one player today, an active player, current player today, who would it be and why?
That's a huge question because, you know, I would pitch Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So most people, most people, they say there's nothing special about Kylian Mbappe, like, because, you know, during the World Cup, apart from Argentina fans, we're not that much at the World Cup. You see, the stadium was filled with Argentina play. 80% were from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and India. The few Argentines. So when they talk about Kylian Mbappe, they say, oh, it's not that special. During the World Cup, Kylian Mbappe is a player that if he decides that today I'm going to make this game about me, if he's motivated, he's so gifted that.
Yeah.
I watch him play. I think recently the only goal that gets me emotional is a goal Jordan Ayew scored that didn't even win the goal of the month. I was disappointed and angry that he didn't win the goal of the month. So that's a goal Jordan Ayew scored once that made me feel they cheated him. Should have won the goal of the month. You end up watching it with the commentary, makes me so emotional. That is how I feel about Kylian Mbappe's
Okay. All
his goals.
Yeah.
During the World Cup. When he scored, it goes, I was like.
He put that entire team on his back and did it, you know?
Oh. Is this guy so young, so gifted? It doesn't make sense that he's brimming with so much confidence that, you know, how you play and the atmosphere will make you influence your play and all that. Kylian Mbappe played 3 games, he doesn't score a goal. Something is wrong.
Right.
He played two games, he doesn't score, he doesn't assist, something is wrong. So if you say a player I'm going to get for Kotoko, I'll get Kylian Mbappe. Then if you ask me a second player, I'll get another Kylian Mbappe. Because that's how I believe in him. That's why I say he's the best player in the world. To me, he's the best player. You say Erling Haaland, now Messi and Ronaldo are not in Europe. It's time for Erling Haaland and Vinicius Jr. Vinicius Jr., Erling Haaland, both of them combined together as Kylian Mbappe. Because he can dribble, he can pass, he's fast, and he can score.
He's 3 steps ahead of everyone else. I'm with you. I agree with you. He says how much he loves AC Milan, and I'm always just like, oh, please one day come. You'll come when you're 90. And he'll still be better than everyone else on the field. But because we haven't even seen his peak powers yet. He's only 22. What were you doing at 22? I know what I was doing at 22. I was screwing up, okay? I wasn't doing what he was doing.
Oh, it's too young for the talent he has. When you see him playing, you're like, this is the kind of player you can't hate. You have nothing to hate.
Yeah.
It's just good. It's just good because if you compare what he has achieved at his age compared to other players, none. You can say Pelé. Okay, Pelé achieved that at a young age. But the next, I was like Kylian Mbappe, because apart from the Champions League, obviously, I think PSG team, once they have the mentality that they have to play together as a team, that's when they can win the Champions League.
I agree.
If they depend on individual and all that, they can't win it. So I think once they have the togetherness, if Kylian Mbappe wins the Champions League, he's done. He's completed football. That's what I think.
He's completed football at 23, 24. Yeah, I'm with you. Look, it's crazy. It's great. I'm with you. Like
The thing is that I'm going to stop it because if you give me time, I'll talk 6 hours about Kylian Mbappe. That's how good he is. I'll continue talking about him.
This will be a 24-hour podcast, but I got one more question for you. Now, this could be about anything about your love of the sport. What has been your favorite moment as a fan of this game?
Well, let me see. I have a lot of moments. I think the recent one was when I was approached by during the tour at the FIFA Museum. I was approached by the FIFA media team and said, "Hi, you're wearing the Ghana jersey. Want to interview?" I'm like, "Me?" They said, "Yeah, you. Come stand here." They gave me the mic. They asked me what kind of travel questions. I failed all the questions. I didn't get any of them correct. I failed everything. But anytime I look at the footage, I'm not embarrassed because it was one of, because if you go on YouTube and look for FIFA official channel posted a video of me answering a question. When the link was sent to me, I was like, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah, you did it.
Official channel posted me on the official channel asking me a question about the World Cup. Then if I say, okay, fast forward, let's say 6 years ago, he didn't tell you that this is where you are, you'll be in 6 years' time. Would you believe it? I say, it's not possible. You mean I'll be in Qatar, I'll be inside the FIFA Museum, and FIFA media team approach me to interview me. Is that what you're telling me? It's not possible. So I have a lot of good moments. That was the recent one, because after doing that, I thought that maybe they won't post the footage, maybe because I didn't answer the questions, but they decided to post it, and it was funny. If you watch it, it's funny, but anyone that watches it will think it's a funny video, like they put it as fun and all that. They don't know what it actually means to me. Sometimes I go back to the FIFA channel, I see I'm actually here. I look at it again, I say, it's like I'm dreaming. Then, when I stay in the presence of other journalists, the media place, the Qatar local organizers made for other media. When I was sitting down to Stephen Howson of Stratford and the top Manchester United reporter on YouTube, he was sitting close to me. I saw Joel Bayer, that's he works with Rio Ferdinand. I was looking at him, I can just stretch my hand and shake him. So wow. When I saw all the people around me, I was like, oh no, this can't be real. It can't be real. I'm seeing everyone I'm seeing on Twitter, I was like, oof, this guy's gone for his career. I wish I started this a long time ago, because I didn't start football journalism and reporting early. I wish I started earlier. So when I see them, I'll be like, I'm inspired. So seeing them physically, I'll be like, this is progress. This is how far I've come. So talking about Ghana football, supporting Ghana, supporting Kotoko as a fan. When I go to the stadium, people recognize me. The first Kotoko game I covered, no one knows me.
Right.
I go there and they see me say, come, let's take a picture. I'll be like, I'm not that famous, why are you taking a picture and all that? Then I'll go online, they'll post it and they'll tag me. I'll retweet and comment and follow them back, because I don't feel I'm up to that level yet. So I don't think I have a particular favorite moment. It's just as if you are collecting stones and every moment you get to put the stones in the basket, and you don't think that the basket is going to be filled up. You just continue collecting them until the day you say, okay, I'm done. I'm not doing anything. But I think right now, I don't have a favorite moment. I just have one or two that will say that at the top, but no favorite. I'm just picking all of them because I get blown anytime I travel out, anytime I go to cover a game. Sometimes I go to say, hey, you, I know you, I saw you somewhere. It's a favorite moment for me. So I don't have a particular favorite moment. I just enjoy everything.
You deserve it, man. I love it. That's beautiful. Your humility, your grace, and your work speaks for itself. I can't thank you enough for coming on this podcast, and I can't thank you enough for shedding so much light and just so much insight into Ghanaian football. As the Nigerian adopted Ghanaian, but seriously, you deserve everything, my friend. And I hope more comes, and it will. So keep collecting those stones, my friend. And I hope to see you in New York, and I will see you in New York actually. So yes. When you and hopefully you see me in Ghana at some point, and that's it. We'll get together and we'll enjoy this in real life. So thank you so much, Clinton.
No problem. Always great speaking about football and, you know, experience. So I'm glad to be on this. Thank you very much.
Follow us on Twitter at Curva Mundial Pod and subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.